Welcome to the Huntington Way Show, where we help parents navigate the educational maze. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, author and founder of inspirationalhomeschooling.com. I'm speaking with Elizabeth Ross. She has a master's degree in counseling. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist and a licensed professional counselor. And we are discussing children's mental health. She was on another episode, and so we're going to continue our discussion about professional counseling and just being able to help your children. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors, Inspirational Homeschooling and the Huntington Learning Center, for bringing this show to you. You're listening on Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. So, we talked about mental health and, what's impacting mental health in the last episode, but I want to focus a little bit more on how we can help a child. So when should a parent seek professional counseling for their child?
I think you have to go back to one of the previous questions that we had talked about in when you are noticing significant behavior changes and you try to invite conversation. So I think depending on what the results of that conversation are, if you find out that there's been something really significant that has happened in your child's life that needs maybe some professional care, that would be a time to do that. If you've tried multiple ways of your own to kind of break through and you're not being able to do that, that might be another time that you would seek counseling. I think sometimes children are picking up on the anxiety or depression, perhaps, of their parents, and that might be another way they're being impacted, and that might really be more the parent that needs to seek help.
Yeah, that's a really good point there. So why is it so important to recognize these issues and help these children heal when they're young, when they're in your home?
I love helping young children. And part of the reason for that is that they don't have to carry the baggage for a lifetime and then at some point realize that it's impacting their lives and it's impacting their relationships. It took me a lifetime to figure that out. And so when you help a child and you are able to intervene, especially on a trauma experience or grief experience, something that's been really difficult for them, they will heal pretty quickly, and the issue can get resolved where they then are just free to go on and to be the ch children that they are. So it's really important to catch it early, and I applaud the parents who are willing to do that.
I mean that, and that's great because just knowing that a child can heal and it's not going to affect them throughout their whole entire life is just, it's a breath of fresh air to know that, and especially in my experience with having trauma when I was a child, and then how it's impacted me as an adult and having to go through things. But then still being able to get healing has been absolutely amazing. But to know that your child doesn't have to do that is, there really are no words, I guess, for that. So sometimes people feel shame for having to admit that they themselves need help or that their child needs professional counseling. So what advice do you have for anyone feeling that way?
Well, first of all, I want to validate those feelings. I think they're understandable. We end up feeling like we have failed our children. Sometimes we are just disappointed in ourselves that we weren't able to protect them or help them better through something. And so we're dealing with that. Sometimes, honestly, it triggers some of our own unresolved shame. So I think I love to tell people it's a courageous, bold step to take, and that God will always meet you there, and the outcome will always bring freedom.
Oh, and that's so true. I mean, just the healing that I have gotten, and it's just it's you're you feel lifted and more who God created you to be, and just have a better life as a result, and the interactions with others, your family, everything. So it's so important to get past that and be brave.
Yeah, be brave.
So I want to talk a little bit about schools because this is kind of a big thing going on today. Children's safety and school transparency are top concerns for nearly half of American parents, according to StrideLearning.com. And 81% of parents say they wish they knew more about what was happening in their children's schools. Parents are concerned about not knowing what their children are being exposed to when they're not present. And so, what do parents need to look out for if their child is attending school and, I mean, they're not present?
That's a great question. I think more than ever, parents have got to be proactive and highly involved in their child's education. When they're going to public schools, there's a lot of shenanigans going on these days. And I just feel like you have to be proactive. You have to ask questions. I think one of the really big questions to ask is, are you asking my child to fill out a student survey? I've found that this is one of the ways that they are filtering students into counseling at the schools, and this is where they're encouraging their agendas. And so I feel like it's a fair question to ask. And if the school is giving their child student surveys, and this starts in elementary schools,
Oh, wow.
that they should ask to see a copy of it. And if they don't want their child taking the survey, I think they should make that known. There are schools have different programs where you can opt in or opt out of some of the things that they want to teach, but they don't always make that known. And I think it's really important that you ask, are there opt-in or opt-out programs? And if so, what are they? How do you notify the parents? How would I know if there's a program that maybe I wouldn't, or curriculum that I might not want my child to be a part of, how would I know? You know? So I think that those are really important. I think it's really important to be willing to ask about course curriculums and to find out, I mean, just be involved and go to school board meetings and stay on top of what's happening in your child's school. And if you don't like it, use your voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, are there conversations that parents can have with their children also when they come home from school? What kind of conversations should they be having?
Are you talking about in general or?
Just trying to figure out what's going on as well, like be involved with school, but also like how are they being impacted by what's going on at school? What kind of conversations? How can they start a conversation about those types of things with their children?
Yeah, I think that it's really important to just think about what, maybe just focusing on what brought you joy today. What brought you sadness today? Instead of how was your day?
Oh, right.
Because when you ask those questions, they're going to say, oh, it was fine.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So if you find ways to enter into conversation with them that would just give them a place to tell you something fun or maybe tell you something that was troubling them, I think that's important. I think it's important that your children also know that the school doesn't have a right to keep secrets from parents. And there are times where children are told they're not to share things that are happening with their parents, and then they're afraid to do that. So I think it's really important that children know that they can tell you anything, and you're there to help them navigate it.
Yeah, that's great. So if parents realize that their child has been exposed to something or is currently being exposed to something or they're confused, what action should they take?
Well, I think it starts with exploring it enough with the child to get a clear understanding of what's going on. If it's a case where you can again help your child have a voice and be proactive in their critical thinking and all of that, that you help them do that. It might be something that's beyond that. And then I think it's up to the parent to go to the school and get to the bottom of it. No matter, I think as an educator, they always want you to start with the teacher and go up the chain of command. And I think that's the right thing to do. So I think you go talk to the child's teacher, you let them know that there's some concern. Please tell me what was going on here so that you're, and then just go up the chain of command if you're not getting the answers that you need.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you, Elizabeth, for sharing this. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about more about the mental health with children. Thank you for joining us. Welcome back to the Huntington Way Show. You're listening on Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, and I'm speaking with Elizabeth Ross about children's mental health. We just finished talking about the transparency in schools and how this is impacting parents. So, Elizabeth, sometimes parents can be too trusting of others. We're too trusting of schools. And sometimes neighbors and other people as well. What parameters should parents consider implementing to better protect their children from exposure to something that might cause them mental anguish?
Well, those are great questions because it's finding that balance between not being overprotective with your child, but also being aware of their circumstances and the places that they are. So, in this day and age, sadly, I think it's very hard to put your faith and trust in just the schools at large, like just, oh, yeah, they're trustworthy. I can trust my children to be in a safe place during the day. I don't think that applies anymore. And I think that, again, it just goes back to being in tune with God first, into yourself and into your child, because that's the way that you're going to understand if they're in environments that are not good for them. And I don't think you should have a carte blanche, oh, we're going to trust this group of people. And I think it's really difficult, just sadly, that you can't necessarily trust neighbors. You can't necessarily even trust your own family. I'm not saying that to put fear around all those relationships, but be aware. You know, boys and girls shouldn't be playing in closed bedroom doors by themselves. We shouldn't, we just have to really be aware about what's going on with our children. And if you're going to let them be in someone else's home, especially if you're letting them spend the night somewhere, you need to really know that family. And oftentimes children don't really feel that safe spending the night in other homes. And I think that that's worth considering whether that is really safe or not.
Right. And even if they are friends with somebody, there's still a whole family of people there and different devices and things that
Exactly.
different screens, different parameters that you may not necessarily want your child exposed to. And then if they are, you may not ever know that they've been exposed to that, or they might be embarrassed to tell you, or and then you have to look for those signs that we were talking about.
Well, I have countless stories of people that, of all ages, all or and genders that have been exposed to pornography, for example, through the environments that they're in, and not anything that necessarily parents would be aware of, but it puts them on a really bad trajectory with that.
Yeah, that's so sad. But yeah, just being aware
Being
and
aware.
having the protections and the thoughts and sometimes too, putting those parameters and having those discussions with the other parents is like, we do not allow this. We do not allow that. These are some of these parameters, and setting them up, and having those conversations can be helpful, I would think.
Absolutely. And I think also, again, this is where it's so important that you have taught your child to be confident in themselves, to have a strong voice, so that they can stand up for themselves if they're in a situation that they know is compromising. Again, countless stories of people that have little children that have tried to say no to another child and it hasn't worked. And it's that place of teaching them you can run out of that space. You don't have to stay there. You know what I'm saying? It's really teaching them just how to be strong and have a strong voice and to be confident in what they know is right and wrong, and to stand on it.
Yeah. And then also having that authority to teach them what's right and wrong, and then relating it to the Bible, like we were talking
Absolutely,
about.
yes.
So, what if a child is exposed to another authority figure, and that authority is conflicting with you as a parent? How would you address something like that?
Well, I think again, what probably is sad is that parents aren't fully aware that they have the absolute authority over their children, and they're even the parents are being taught differently than that now in the system, in the school systems. But God gave you authority over your children, period. You're going to be accountable to Him in the end. And it's important to teach your children that you are the ultimate authority in their lives. That you, if they get conflicting messages from someone else who's an authority figure, it may be at school, but it might be in church as well. And I think we kind of forget that piece sometimes. And I think that the door should be open. That's why it's so important that you provide a safe environment, a secure place for your children to come talk to you about whatever they might be experiencing. So they can come and say, "Hey, my teacher was telling me this, and he or she said, don't say anything to your mom and dad about this." Then you always want to know if there's another authority figure that is telling you something that does not align with your family values, with what your family stands for. The parents need to establish that that is what's most important, is that they have that safe place to come say, "Hey, this is confusing."
And so you made this point about somebody saying, an authority figure saying, don't tell your parents about this. I mean, to me, that should be addressed with the child, because if somebody says that usually they're doing something wrong. They don't want the parents to know. And I think we've kind of gotten into that trust, or something gets flipped there where that shouldn't be happening, where the parents can't help their children unless they know what's going on. So that
Well,
is direct reverse to what should be happening.
exactly. And I think that's where it just has to be a strong message to your child that whenever that happens, like that's a huge red flag. And there's ever a time you need to tell me what's going on. It's then when somebody's telling you not to, because that means that it's definitely not aligned with how we feel as a family.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So I want to switch just a little bit, and we are talking about how culture really focuses on making people happy. Commercials do it, everything does it. Well, this will make you happy. This will fulfill you, and really nothing but God fulfills us. But even to the point where it's detrimental, we'll give that candy to that child, but or whatever it is, or even if it's detrimental, as long as it makes them happy or appeases them, because happiness is first and foremost what we want to achieve. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, sadly, I was just reading something the other day. In fact, it's in a source I'm going to quote later on, but they were talking exactly that when you ask parents what do you want the most for your children, it's so they're happy and successful. Well, it's not about happiness at all. I mean, that is not the goal. There's so many ways to misconstrue what happiness is, and they could be very much led astray. And if it's all about making me happy, well, then this makes me happy. Why can't I do that? Well, there's a lot of reasons that you can't do that. Okay, so it's not about that. The Bible talks about joy, and joy is an inner experience. And you can have joy in the midst of sorrow and grief and everything else because it's the joy of the Lord. We want to experience that. But the culture, yes, is totally changed, and that it's all about appeasing the child, making the child happy, and that creates a very false message about what life is really about.
I was talking to my husband, and he's like, he really made this point that just hit me in the head. He's like, well, if you're really trying to just appease people, like what makes you happy? He's like, well, look at what Ted Bundy did. It made him happy, but that was 100% wrong. So we really do need to be careful what message we're sending our children. I mean, I know that's really off the charts, but I mean, it's a point, so what action do you suggest parents take if they realize that they have been exposed to topics or have been told, don't share this, and they're confused and they just you just want to help them. I mean, do they, I guess it depends on like how severe it is, what kind of help you're going to get them.
Exactly. I mean, some of those things, again, if you have a good, open, honest relationship and a safe environment for your children to talk, you're going to be able to talk through, help them to think about that and to understand it, to again align it with your own family values. I think that sometimes I'm aware of some situations where the child didn't tell, and ultimately there were some very serious repercussions on that child and family's life. And I think perhaps you need to seek professional help. And I'm aware that people are really afraid to seek professional help right now because professionals are not allowed to do certain types of therapy according to the state of Colorado. Your 12-year-old has absolute confidentiality, meaning that whatever they share cannot be shared with their family. There's a lot of concerning things there, and that's why you have to, if you're going to seek professional help, you have to vet strongly the people that you're going to take them to, because that can create a whole new realm of problems that you weren't expecting.
Yeah, and that's true. And I've seen it, one of my cousins'
Yeah.
kids, and I'm like, oh, it's so sad, but it's so true. So, you have some wonderful encouragement, and I would love to give you an opportunity to share that, your
Well, there's
message.
just this quote that kind of stuck out to me because, God didn't promise us happiness. What is for certain is that we're going to suffer, we're going to experience sorrow, because you can't be a human being and not experience those things. So this is just a quote from the book called In Building Balance, which is a book about building that joy center in your brain. It talks about things for children and for adults by Dr. Werner and Stephanie Hinman. And so it's really our place to help grow their capacity and strengthen their emotional immune systems. And I thought that was a unique way to refer to how you build that part of them. But it said children who learn that they can experience hardship and be okay will be less afraid, more adventurous, and more equipped.
Wow, that is really powerful.
And that is why we need to let them experience
Yeah.
hardships.
Yes. So they become stronger
Yes.
and more able to deal with all of the things that are
Absolutely.
going on around them. So do you have any encouragement to those who are seeking to heal from past tribulations, parents that have?
Well, I think one of the big things for me is that God designed us well. He designed us perfectly. He has a plan for each one of us from conception. And so when we get wounded, that gets hijacked as well. And so what's important is to think about healing will bring you back to God's design. And by coming back to His design, you are certainly more able to live out the plans that He had for you from the beginning. And that's why we're all here, right?
Yeah, Oh, that's absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Can you share how people can find you? And also a resource, I know you talked about maybe looking at Focus on the Family because you were talking about how important it is to vet the counselors.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really do like about Focus on the Family. They have a list of therapeutic resources, and they're across the nation. They're not just in Colorado, and they are according to their areas of expertise, and they've been highly vetted. So you know that you're at least going to be contacting someone if you're a believer that is aligned with those beliefs and is going to operate over, out of those principles. Our counseling center, if you will, is unifycounseling.com, but it's spelled in an unusual way. So it's YOUNIFY counseling.com. There are two other Splunkna practitioners who office there, and there's many great people in Colorado Springs. Again, it's just so important that you vet them. Referral is probably, that's how I get all of the contacts that I have, and I think it's one of the best ways is talk to people who have used mental health services and find out who they've experienced that has provided good care for their family.
Yeah, well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing all that you shared. I know it's going to be so helpful to our viewers. And thank you for all the healing that you've done in so many lives, mine included. I really appreciate that. So this show is brought to you by our sponsors, the Huntington Learning Center and Inspirational Homeschooling. This is Yvonne Strawn, today's host on the Huntington Way Show, where we help you and support you in educating your kids. Thank you for joining us.